Turn my music high, 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 high. Yeah.
You don't know what you're doing.
Sure I do. I'm from the streets with a hood to swallow on me. Bullets to follow on me.
So Shaista and I got into a pretty interesting conversation yesterday, and it led to more interesting topics and conversations, and specifically about like what our goals are and how I see my goals and things like that. So I just wanted to share it, and I don't know why, whatever. No, I'm not doubting anything. I'm just going to talk about this. Because I definitely think it's worth sharing. I think it's something that is not really, like, clear and definitely not, like, communicated that transparently, although I think it might be through my, like, social media and other posts and things like that. But here we are. It's Friday morning, out for a quick drive with Elia in my podcast studio. And I, to be honest with you, do not really feel like high vibes today. This morning I was up with her, like I was up too late last night finishing some things, and then like scrolled a little bit too much, and then she woke up at like 1:30 and really upset, so I stayed up with her for another like hour or so. So anyways, the point just being like I slept in this morning and then kind of like started my day off on that like low vibration sort of state, and I'm really working on getting out of that as soon as possible and not letting myself just, you know, be down there for too long, and trying to make sure I stay positive and focus on good things. So today, you know, like still be grateful for all the amazing things that are happening and all these blessings and that little baby smile that, you know, is absolutely priceless, let alone just the looks in her eyes when she stares at me. It's really quite special. So anyways, what I wanted to talk about was what I think I'm doing, as in when I left my job, why I prioritize the things that I do, why I work on the things that I do, like emotionally and, you know, professionally, and what I think the outcome is, and anyways, the goal is. That's kind of a weird way to say it, what I think the outcome is, but I guess that's what a goal is. So, how did we get on the subject last night? We were talking about something that we were talking about internal struggles, things that you really have to grapple with internally, and, Shaista was sharing some of that with me, and in the past, I have responded with my pride and thought about how her internal struggles affect me, and my pride will kind of take over and my ego will kind of come to the table and say, like, this shouldn't be happening, or this makes me feel this way, or why is she thinking this? Why is she feeling this? It's not okay with me, stuff like that. And, you know, I've really come to learn and appreciate that. There's a much more constructive way to handle that, and that is to be there for her and like really put my ego and my pride aside and just recognize, like, this is a situation where this is a human being sharing their problems, their thoughts, their very personal emotions, and how can I support her better? And in an effort to do that, first of all, it took a long time. This did not just happen overnight. It's taken years of, you know, struggles and fights between us. But anyways, when it comes to these sorts of things, I really feel like it's something that I personally didn't handle very well. As in, like, I didn't handle my own personal struggles very well, especially in the context of, like, the outside world, the external world. And so that was one thing that I distinguished last night, was, like, I had these internal struggles, and then something that I didn't quite realize was, like, the impact that those internal struggles can have on the world around me and the people around me. So to give you kind of an example, like, I used to get, like, really upset about something, and then I would kind of work my way through it internally. And I would say to myself, okay, here's why it upsets me. Here's what I can do about it. Here's how I can respond. And then I would choose how to respond. And then, you know, like I would like work on myself. Like, I'm not okay with being this kind of person. I would rather be this kind of person. So here's the actions that I need to take. And here's the thoughts that I need to replace with this thought or whatever, right? Like the negative thoughts with the positive thoughts. And that was all what I would say is internal. I didn't have to tell anybody about it, and I didn't. I didn't have to explain it to anybody, and I didn't. So I figured it out, and I did not feel compelled to share that with anyone. And what I said to Shaista yesterday was, like, nobody really is ever going to truly understand what you go through. Like, as much as you use your words to externalize it to, like, a therapist or a spouse or whatever, it's powerful to understand that you can never, like, other people will never truly know what you go through. And I say that's powerful because it can be empowering, not only to help you help others because you don't understand them, but also to understand that you aren't relying on other people to help you with your own internal struggles. And I found that, like, when I kind of realized or, like, accepted that, I think it was more of an acceptance, because people will tell you this shit and it's very difficult to accept that I have to figure this out myself in some capacity. Like, I kind of have to take it to the finish line. As much as people can get you, they can help you, like therapists, absolutely they help, spouses, absolutely, parents, whatever support system you have. Yes, I truly believe that people can help you. I just don't think that they can do the last 10% for you, as in, they can't really do it for you. There is some sense of this that you have to accomplish on your own. And the beauty and the poetry of this is that only you will ever know this. So you can lie to yourself if you want, and you can hide it from other people if you want. No problem. Nobody will ever know any better. Only you can truly hold yourself accountable. Only you truly know if you have addressed the issues within yourself. Only you will truly know if you feel comfortable with how things have been addressed, etc., etc. And if you choose to satisfy, say, for example, your spouse by saying, I'm fine now, you don't have to worry about me, but you truly aren't, you are the only one who's going to feel the effects of that decision. You are the only one who is truly going to suffer. So you're really only doing yourself a disservice. And I understand, you know, that if you do things internally, it can impact your spouse, for example. Like, if you keep telling them, look, I'm still not okay, I'm still not okay, and they get upset, and they cry, and they're hurt because you're not okay, and then finally you just say, look, I'm fine, forget about it. That's kind of where the conversation went as well yesterday, where I kind of said, one of the things that I had to come to terms with was that my internal actually does impact my external. Because what I used to do was do all that work and figure shit out for myself and actually be much better and feel much better, but then I would not tell Shaista about it. So she may or may not know that I was even struggling with something, but she did not know how I worked through it or where I got to when I worked through it, how I felt better about things, and that I was not struggling anymore. So it puts her in a very tough situation because she just thinks I'm still struggling with something, and then I'll turn around one day, or she'll turn around one day and say, like, I can't take this anymore. What's going on? Or, like, why are you so upset? Or, what is this? Like, you're so far away from me. And I would say, look, I figured this out 2 months ago. It's fine. And I did not appreciate how that impacted her. So I was trying to connect those two worlds where it's like everything around you and everything inside you. And it's very difficult to balance and manage, I think, because they push on each other so much. Like, if you have an internal struggle, if you're insecure about something, like something that happened to you when you were a kid, that's internal, like, work that you're going to have to do to truly address your fears and your insecurities. But when someone provokes you from the external world, it pushes on that inside. And maybe it makes you, like, maybe it makes that part of you, like, retreat inside of yourself further maybe it gets harder to access. Maybe somebody provokes it and then it causes you to take an action in your external world, like physical, like you hit something, you express anger. So that's what I mean, like they're always pushing on each other. The two worlds are pushing on each other. And the poetic part is that if you can get the internal world to function without the noise of the external world, then you're making progress. And then I think you're truly going to make headway into what you're facing. Like, yes, take the input from the therapists and the spouse and the, you know, parents and all that from the external world. But in order to really accomplish the work that you need to accomplish internally, there's going to come a point where you're going to have to make the outside world very quiet. And you're going to have to be with yourself. And you're going to have to face it on your own. And that's, I really think that's true for all, if not most, of these types of struggles. I don't want to get into semantics here, but sticking to the point, the internal world also pushes on the external world. And if you can get that to quiet as well, then I think you will make true progress in your external world. And what I mean by that, on the other side of the coin here, is that if you can understand that your insecurities will provoke or change or, like, I don't know, like affect your external worldly actions, and if you're aware of it, did I already say that? If you can understand it, if you're aware of it, and then if you can control it, then you will make progress as well. Like, if you truly understand that, look, I said those words to that person because I'm insecure about something, then you can turn around and say, look, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that kind of person. And it just may improve your relationship with that person, or, you know, the things that you do in that aspect of your life. Like, whether it's, you know, you said something to your sister and you did it out of insecurity and you don't want to do that. Or you said something to a coworker, like, hey, keep me in the loop on this. Just because you're feeling insecure about not being in the loop about something. Like, if you can quiet the internal struggles and that noise for your external world, it's super powerful as well. I was speaking on that subject also because I was trying to give Shaisa some credit and say to her, look, this is hard work. Like, this is very difficult stuff to do. This is not easy. Like, what I just described, like, this is easily some of the hardest work that I've done in my life, in any capacity, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, although I think that's a little bit of a gray area because I don't know about spiritual work, but topic for another day. I said, look, this is really hard work. Give yourself some credit. Make sure you tell yourself you're doing a good job. Like, you're making change. And the point that I was ultimately getting to was that because this is such hard work, not a lot of people do it. Very few people will take this upon themselves because the accountability lies truly within people. Nobody is going to know if you are doing this. Nobody can know if you truly do these things. Only you will know. And how many people are willing to hold themselves accountable to this extent? I don't think the percentage is very high. I would be interested in learning a little bit more about this. I don't know if you can Google this shit, but nobody will ever know. How can you research this stuff? Because nobody can tell you, like, oh yeah, I didn't truly hold myself accountable. All right, I absolutely, truly held myself accountable. Like, there's no research on this stuff. You can never know this stuff. Because how can a researcher or somebody external to you know if you've truly accessed what you are capable of accessing? Only you know that stuff. So anyways, I think it's super hard work. So not a lot of people do it. And this is the stuff that truly puts you in that quote-unquote 1%. And this is the stuff that I truly believe is going to put me in the quote-unquote 1%. Or maybe the 0.5%. Maybe the 0.1%. Like, who knows? Do you really think that you have boundaries? Like, I'm slowly unpacking this shit, and my boundaries are disappearing. My limits are disappearing as I learn more and more and more. So, no, it's not insane for me to think that 0.1%. the other thing is that the world has a way of measuring those percentages, and that is through money. It's in the bank accounts. And as much as you can say that that is truly a reflection of who's in the 1%, I truly believe that it's not the money that makes the 1%, at least the 1% that I want to be a part of. It's the qualities that make up the human beings that ultimately lead to the bank accounts growing and then the world understanding that they are truly in the 1%. When you hear about millionaires and billionaires, and when you hear like about who they are as people, when you read articles about them as humans, they don't say stuff like, this guy got really lucky and he's got a lot of money. At least if they do, that shit doesn't last very long. They talk about stuff like, that guy is 80 years old and he is sharp as a tack. Warren Buffett still reads 1,000 pages a day. Can you believe he learns so much? He still believes in it. Can you believe that Bill Gates analyzes data the way that he does? He's such a student of life. You know, I honestly, I can't tell you too many other ones. I'll give you one more about Jay-Z, because Jay-Z, can you believe that guy does not write any of his lyrics when he goes in the recording studio? That guy raps off the top of his head, not that he doesn't, like, not that he makes it up necessarily, but he doesn't keep notes for his recordings. He just raps, like, from the heart. He does it off memory because it's in his, anyways, it's in his, he's got it. Like, that's what, one of the things is that makes him great. And no, he didn't just, like, he wasn't just born with this. He worked on this talent. He honed this talent through his childhood. And you know, I heard Rick Ross talk about him one day, and he said, like, Rick Ross was asked, like, is it true that Jay-Z doesn't bring notes into the recording? And Rick Ross just said, look, you're talking about one of the greatest MCs of all time. And I can't honestly remember everything that he said, but he did make it clear that, look, like, don't underestimate how great Jay-Z is. So anyways, I had to throw a Jay-Z reference in there because, you know, huge impact on me, and love his work and everything. But anyways, back to the point, that elite 1% who, you know, people see as so successful because of their money, I truly believe it's because of who they are as people, whether they're the generous type or the educated type. The lifelong learners, the passionate, those who are plugged into their energies, their callings, their passions. I think they've had to develop and hone those things. And I think that, again, I don't know, but I think that most, if not all of them, have faced these internal struggles and addressed them in a way that the masses can't, don't, won't, or refuse to, or whatever the case may be. So one last thing that I'll make a point to say is that this is the reason why I don't worry about money the way that I don't right now. I'm in debt. It's not a good situation, but I know that I'm working on something that's much bigger than just money. It's not about staying whole, and it's not about paying the bills. We're trying to do something that is generational change. Like, this is generational. When people talk about wealth, not richness, when people talk about wealth in families, it's like passed on from generation to generation. And it's not just the money aspect of it, it's the competence aspect of it, it's the humanistic qualities. I think that's where the true wealth is passed on and developed. But somebody had to start it. Somebody had to be the first in the first generation to build that wealth, to develop that money and knowledge and those skills, and then pass them on to their children. And I said, that's what we're doing. Like, that's what I'm doing for sure. And I don't know if you know, Shaista, but that's what we are doing. We stand to become the first generation of our families to truly develop this sense of wealth and this perspective of money, success, and lifestyle in a lot of ways, not just being one related to finances, but also just the attitude towards life. And one more thing I wanted to say. It's really hard work. I think that's kind of where I tied the points together, was like, look, people don't just wake up and do this. It's not just easy to do, otherwise everyone would do it. It's hard. It's hard work. And there's an awareness of it that belongs to a certain percentage, and then there's work on it that belongs to a smaller percentage, and there's a success of working through it that belongs to a smaller percentage. It just gets smaller and smaller, and that's how you eventually ultimately get to be in the 1%. So I don't think that this is supposed to be easy. In fact, sometimes I wonder why it's not harder, but it's all up to me to just push myself to find those challenges. So I continue to, and I want to every day, at least recently. We won't talk about my attitude for the last 2 years right now. But anyways, Jay-Z, Legacy on 444. There's a couple lines there that I just wanted to quote. Generational wealth, that's the key. My parents ain't have shit, so that shift started with me. And that struck me when I heard it, because that's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. And it's not that my parents came from poverty, but my parents did not have the type of wealth that I want to have. They did not have the lifestyle that I want to have. And I don't think that they have the impact that I want to have. And that is not to belittle anything that they have done or will do in their lives. They did an amazing thing. They moved from another country, set up shop. My dad, you know, rewrote exams and put in all kinds of work. He missed so much of our childhood because he was working and volunteering, by the way, doing amazing things. I would not take anything away from it. His work ethic taught me my work ethic. My mother worked she raised us and then started working and continued to raise us. Her work ethic taught me something. Their attitudes taught me. Like, this is not at all to say that I'm going to do something. This is a building upon a foundation that was laid by my parents and grandparents and etc. I'm just taking it to a different level with their help. And yeah, you bet your ass, I think and I hope, I pray that my child now takes it to the next level as well. I'm not done. Don't get me wrong here. I got a long way to go. And even as she is taking it to another level, I hope that I still am as well. That's what I want for my future. That's what I want for my legacy. That's what this is really all about. This is really not just, it's not just about working whenever I want to and making more money than I thought I would, being happier when I wake up in the morning. This is about something. Years and years, it's a legacy that's going to last for years and years through family generations. This is about impacting the world and changing how I view the world, exist in the world, and what I leave behind. And I think I'm blessed to be in an incredible position of strength to be able to do it. So I don't know what's worse, knowing that I didn't do my best or the world, you know, not. No, I was trying to go for a really good ending there. But I do think I would hate myself, and only I would truly know what I was capable of if I didn't do anything about it and if I didn't put everything into it. So, yeah, shift gears, and that's why I shifted gears and why I'm doing this. Thanks for listening.